Welcome to the God's Goodness Podcast, where our mission is to encourage and highlight God's goodness in modern day miracles. We are your hosts, Josh and Shelley Hankins. Today we have with us a special guest. We met through TikTok and her name is Lisa Pugh. And let me tell you, Lisa loves Jesus and Jesus loves Lisa. And Lisa prayed and asked the Holy Spirit on what she should share about today. And we know that God speaks to everybody in every episode. So we pray that you're blessed by this episode. And we're going to have Lisa open us up with an opening prayer. And then we'll get into it.
Thank you so much. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much for the opportunity to talk to my friend Shelley today, God. I thank you for the many ways that you bless us. And thank you that we are able to read and comprehend and hide your words in our heart. God, I ask you today to just speak through us and touch the lives of those around us. I thank you so much for the way that you will use this podcast to reach people and change lives and change hearts. And I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you for that.
Thank you.
So where would you like to start, Lisa?
So after praying about it for a while, and I have actually had the opportunity to serve in a newer women's ministry, which is crazy because I live kind of out in the country and there's not a whole lot of things close to me, but this women's ministry actually opened up and it's 15 minutes from my house.
Oh, great.
Yes. And so it is a women's addiction recovery at home. And so it's a 12-month program. And it's a smaller home out in the country, and there's just some good Jesus-loving people that opened it up. And I have had the opportunity to go there once every week. They have me on their calendar. And sometimes we do some stretching and light exercise things, and sometimes we just sit in a circle on the floor and talk about what's going on and how God has blessed us. So I actually was able to share my thoughts about what I was going to talk about today with them yesterday.
Oh, great.
And yes, it was such a great conversation, but it's all about learning to surrender the control of our minds and our emotions to the Holy Spirit.
Hmm. That's good.
Yes.
You want to renew that mind every day.
Yes. And, you know, I think it's a whole lifelong process of learning to lay down different parts of ourselves and to fully surrender. And sometimes, you know, it's not just a one-time thing, especially in my case. I'm a planner, and, you know, I think moms, we do this. We like to have everything lined up just so. And unfortunately, life doesn't usually line up with our plans like
that.
So,
sometimes we forget to tell our husbands our plans.
Yes.
Wonder why he's not following the thing in my head, the plan in my
head.
Right.
I know. And so, you know, I think I've had to learn that is, you know, I just have to give all control. And one thing I've learned through this particular season in life is that I may not be able to control what's going on around me or with people around me, but I can control how I react to that. And that's only by allowing the Holy Spirit to do that for me, because it's not by my own strength. Because if Lisa's in charge of it, it usually doesn't go that well. So I need Jesus to come in and be like, yeah, let me handle that.
For sure.
Yes.
And it's not like a daily thing, I was thinking. It's like it throughout the day, too, of the renewing of your mind. Because there's so many things, external factors that can get you off track and get you in a funk.
Yes. And I've noticed that, too. And I've also noticed the Bible has some really good life principles. And it's funny to me because like we study and we memorize scripture and like we know scripture, but then when we actually apply it, we're like, oh yeah, wow, look at that. You know, it's kind of like a duh moment, you know?
Yeah. Wisdom is knowledge applied.
Yes. And so I've learned that. Now, one thing I was thinking about is, you know, we are supposed to emulate Jesus, and we are supposed to surrender like he did. And he, you know, I think it's in John, might be in chapter 10, where he's saying like, you know, nobody took my life from me. I laid it down. And, you know, he surrendered his life for our lives as a ransom for many. So we, in that same way, have to model Jesus by surrendering all of us. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, our thought life, I mean, a lot of times that's where the enemy comes in, mm-hmm. and tries to attack, is in our thought life.
Plants those seeds.
Yes. And then exactly. Or, you know, tries to put like a root of bitterness in, or mm-hmm. tries to amplify an offense, or,
oh, yeah.
I mean, and those things, like, that's serious. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we as women, a lot of times are so much more emotional.
True.
And, you know, if you want to practice, you know, being a strong woman, you can kind of take that on almost like an anti-biblical stance, like, I'm a woman, I don't need a man. I mean, like that kind of thing. Like, I, you know, and that's not a biblical way mm-hmm. to approach things, because, you know, men are needed and women are needed. And even though we have equal value, we do have different important roles. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think a lot of that can get misconstrued. A lot of like feminism can come in and say, I'm a woman, but I won't show you my emotions, or I won't, you know, do all these things. And that's really not the right way to look at it either.
Right. Like, in what way does that mean you're a woman by right. stifling it? How does that define womanhood?
Right. I know. And it's so unhealthy, you know, mm-hmm. I was thinking about this. So I watch a lot of sermons and things on YouTube. And even when I'm just doing things around the house, or, mm-hmm. you know, I like to just have something always playing in the background. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'll stop and write a note if I hear something particularly that, you know, applies to me. But I saw something that came up on my YouTube feed, and I had not looked up this word, and I had not searched it or anything like it. And it came up and it said stoicism, how to be stoic. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now, you know, there's lots of things that we can look at and listen to and read that are, do not glorify God. And sometimes I found myself in the pursuit of trying to understand other points of view, you know, trying to listen to some of those things, and that's okay, but it also can be dangerous. Like, you have to hold everything in light of Scripture, mm-hmm. you know? But I said, huh, I'm going to click on this and see, you know, what they're saying here. So there were all these like mantras or whatever that you were supposed to tell yourself, mm-hmm. not Christ-like affirmations, but like worldly mm-hmm. mantras, you know? And mm-hmm. so they would have things like, I will tell myself I am in control of my thoughts and emotions. I will tell myself I am not scared of anyone. So, but I got to thinking about this and I said, you know what? And you know how a lot of times the things in the world will have some ounce of truth in them, mm-hmm. but without the truth that is the real truth, which is the Word of God. And so I thought, well, you know what? We can be stoic in Christ by saying, I'm not in control of my thoughts and emotions, but the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me is in control of my thoughts and emotions. And, you know, the Bible tells us we have the mind of Christ in 1 Corinthians. And then where it says, I'm not scared of anyone. Well, okay, I'm not scared of anyone because mm-hmm. God has not given me a spirit of fear. So it's not enough to claim these things, because that's in our own strength. Mm-hmm. And there's no power behind our own strength.
Right. When you add those words from the Bible and the Holy Word of God, then it has that power.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And with exactly. that truth in it.
Yes, yeah. Because, you know, I mean, the Word of God is living and active, and that's where all those things can become truth. Mm-hmm. I was really glad that I looked at that, because I was like, you know, that's what the world will tell people to do, you know, is to almost, you know, I don't need anyone, and mm-hmm. I don't need, and I can do it all myself.
It makes them sound powerful, but without right. the Word of God and that power behind the Word.
And see, that's not what I'm looking at when I hear that from my point of view. I hear lonely.
Mm. Yes.
I can do yeah. it myself. Mm-hmm. Why would you want to?
right? Right. When you know better.
Exactly. And I think that comes from a place of hurt a lot of times, you know, and like you said, lonely, because what it's done is it's probably, you know, people that have said, well, you know, before people have tried to intimidate me or scare me, and I will never allow that to happen again. So instead of guarding my heart, now I've closed my heart off. Mm-hmm. And that creates a whole other issue, because, you know, there's always, you have to be able to love, you know, and take that risk of not being loved back.
Hmm. Right. Is that not biblical?
I mean, really,
if you had the Holy Spirit in spades but did not love, you would be bankrupt.
That is so true. You know, I thought about that before, and I feel like that's the whole, when we can learn unconditional love of others, then we can truly see how God loves, because mm-hmm. you know, God loves so many people that don't love him, that curse his name, that worship other gods, that go about their everyday life never considering him, and yet he loves. Mm-hmm. And so if we are able to ever know that kind of love, I mean, I think that's a gift, mm-hmm. that we're able to know that kind of love, but it does not come without hurt, you know? Mm-hmm. But I would risk it. I mean, I have been able to see the love of God so much more clearly since I've been able to love people that did not return love to me. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It hurt, and I didn't like it. But I would not trade it, because God used that to show me his love and to show, and I know how much more he loves me because of those things. So even through the bad, you know, we see the goodness of God, which is what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But just like you said, you know, things do come around every day, all day long. They can come at us and through different forms. And it's, you have to be on guard, right? Because mm-hmm. the devil does prowl like a roaring lion, you know? And so I think, so many people, I think, take that as they should be scared of what might happen. And that's not the case. Being aware is not being scared. It's just knowing that I have weapons that God has given me to handle those things when they come up. And we know we're supposed to take our thoughts captive. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think sometimes it can stop there with people say, oh, you got to take your thoughts captive, take your thoughts captive. But the next part of that is to make them obedient to Christ.
Mm, amen. One thing that I was thinking of is sometimes the devil won't come at you with something that you'll know isn't good for you. He'll come in with something that's good, but it's not like great that God has for you. So like Eve, she was tempted with something that was good.
Right.
Right.
Right. You know? She saw that it was good.
Yes. That's so true.
So you need to be very careful.
And that's why we need to be in the Word, and why we need to talk to God, because I use an analogy that if I baked you a pie that was 99% pie, pumpkin pie, and 1% arsenic, or 1% whatever you would never put in your mouth.
Right.
And I didn't tell you it at first, and I gave you this pie. It's like a sermon that you would hear, right? And after you examining this pie, you deem it is not fit to eat, even though it looks good. Mm-hmm. It's that discernment that we need. And if we don't have the scripture, we won't know how to discern one thing from another, because something will sound good. Like what you were saying before, that affirmation that you were saying that was wrong, that sounds good.
Right.
It sounds empowering. It sounds like it's helpful. But in fact, it's just isolating.
Yes, that's so true. And that's like, you know, that phrase that says the devil has no new tricks, because that's what he does, is he takes something that God intended to be one way, mm-hmm. and he twists it, and there's enough truth in it. And so if people don't really study their Bible, don't really know scripture, but only, you know, have heard maybe bits and pieces of it, and somebody else comes to them using that scripture, well, they don't know any different. So they're taking their word for it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Bible says the devil is like a lion prowling around seeking to whom he can consume, right?
Yes.
And what does a lion do? It separates the weak from the herd, isolates them, and then takes them down.
Yes.
We're stronger together.
Yes. And you know what? I heard somebody once say, the devil is like a lion, but he is not the lion, which is the Lion of Judah. You know,
right. So it's like, he's always been a miserable copy.
Yes, always. And it's a counterfeit of what, you know, you think about all those things like success and lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, all those things that the devil throws at people to convince them that that will be their happiness, that that will be their identity is found in those things. Mm-hmm. And it's just a fake, it's just a, you know, a weak fake of what the actual truth is. Like, I didn't realize, and I know Shelly knows part of my testimony, and I met Jesus about 8 years ago. And before that, though, I was a career woman, I guess so you would say. And I had always worked, and much of my identity was found in my work. Well, fast forward, and after legal problems came up from a job company that I worked for, and I was criminally penalized for that. So ever since then, I'm not able to even work in that field anymore. So it's like, if Jesus had not met me and showed me what my true identity was, it would have been all wrapped up in that. And I would be, you know, it'd be done. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's so many ways that God is so good to have met me before I even walked through any of that, because he, you know, really showed me what the truth was before I had to let the world tell me what the truth was, you know? So I feel like that's so important. But the thing about the everyday stuff, and I know you guys have heard this, the garbage in, garbage out theory. Yeah. And so, you know, what we're supposed to feed our minds with are the things that are true and honorable and respectable and all those things that he talks about in Philippians. And so if I catch my mind deviating to something that is not one of those things, that's those thoughts that I have to take captive mm-hmm. and make obedient to Christ. Because if it doesn't fit in that list of items, you know, it's, that's where anxiety comes from. That's where worry comes from. That's where, you know, you can dwell on an offense, but not if you're focused on these things, which are, you know, instead of like, which are things that are true and honorable. And we know that whatever our heart is full of is going to flow out. Mm-hmm. And that's the garbage in, garbage out thing. Mm-hmm. So it is a lot about what goes in. And not only, I mean, you know, that's what we listen to, what we look at. And like you said, Shelley, it doesn't have to be something overtly bad, but it can be something that we, or just something that takes the place of God, or takes the place of putting him first, even our children. Even a Bible study, even, you know, something like that, we can go get so caught up in activities, even though those are good activities, but are we having that closeness that God desires? Mm-hmm.
This reminds me of our first guest of season two. He was also on a track of doing things in a certain field, but with mm-hmm. 8 arrests in a single year, he was not able to get a job in that position that he was going to college for. And God showed up in a way that no one would have seen coming. And now he's an evangelist that travels the world. And so I'm just, you know, like, I think of that when I think of your story, because like you can't go in that field. So it's kind of like a redirection to something even better, possibly. Yes.
And, probably. And I feel like I always felt like God was saying to me, you know, like you did that and you got some valuable, you know, experience and things that I developed in you during that time. But mm-hmm. now that time is done mm-hmm. and you're going to take that and use it for whatever's next.
Mm-hmm. And just a stepping stone, building block.
Yes. And I'm appreciative for that. because, you know, I was in sales. And so I was able to, you know, develop relationships with people. And now I do believe since the very first moment that I was saved, that I was going to be in ministry in some form. Mm-hmm. And so that has happened on small scales, you know, so far in just everyday life things. But I believe that everything that I have walked through in the different seasons is preparing me for that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was listening to another one of the pastors, and he said that the more sanctified you become, because, you know, that's a whole process in mm-hmm. itself.
Yeah.
And not a one-time event.
Very slow.
The more sanctified that you become, the stronger your mind becomes mm-hmm. and the stronger your thought life becomes. Because if you think about it, if God does want to call you into ministry or even in your everyday career or wherever you're going to be in, to get you to be the person that he wants you to be, and in order to effectively lead other people to Jesus, you have to be able to let the Holy Spirit be the one that guides all those interactions.
For sure.
You know, I can't say, and you have to, this is also what I've learned, is that the people that can be the same person that they are in church, at home, at the ballpark, at the grocery store, those are the people that have allowed the Holy Spirit to do work in them. Mm-hmm. Because I don't have to turn on a different voice when I go to this place, and I don't have to act a different way when I go to this place. Mm-hmm. But I've embraced who God wants me to be. And that's what I always have told my kids too about telling my story, because my kids have all heard my whole story, and they've always been proud of me for the way that I've told it, because I don't carry any shame with it. And that is only because of the Holy Spirit's working in my life, because of course it's full of things that I could be shameful for. I could carry shame for, but they have always been so proud of me, because they're like, Mom, you just, you know, tell everybody what actually happened, and you don't, you know, sugarcoat anything, and you don't. And I told them, the more you allow the light in to your life, to your story, then the enemy doesn't have a chance to expose anything. Like, you've already exposed it. It's already mm-hmm. in the light.
Right.
And so nobody can hold that against you, because, you know, the enemy will try to hold your past against you, you know. Mm-hmm. But God,
he canceled that out.
Yes. Yes. And so that's really where I've been in this whole new season, a different season of my life. I've actually was able to study for the Alabama real estate exam, and I passed my exam.
So oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And so I've already have a broker that has said that, you know, I should work with her. And now I don't know if that is something that will be a lifelong career. I don't know if that is to, you know, move me to the next place where there will be a ministry opportunity. I don't know. And, mm-hmm. and you know what? I don't have to know.
But you'll be meeting a lot of people doing it.
That's right. And because I trust God, and you know what? He has opened a door. He's like cracked the door open a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And I've just stepped out in faith every time he's revealed a step to me, and he's blessed it. And so that's what I have to hold on to right now. But I am grateful, even though like this is the whole probably the past year has been a difficult time for me to learn how to surrender my mind and emotion. So I know that God has used this time to make that stronger. So I'm grateful for that. But like I said, it's like with any other thing that we walk through, and you know, how it says in James about trials, you know, and trials produce perseverance, and perseverance character. And so I know that these things are for my good, and now I'm seeing that they are working for my good. But it sometimes takes coming out on the other side before you can see how. Mm-hmm. You can trust them that it will be good. Yeah. But a lot of times you can't see just how.
Yeah.
But
hard to see the other side of the forest when you're standing in the fire.
Exactly. Exactly. And Shelly, I know like you've probably seen some of the videos that I had done before, and I'm real passionate about having right relationships with people. So about having good family relationships, a good marital relationship, a good, you know, and managing all the different people that we come into contact with, mm-hmm. and managing as best we can, because it's really not a possible thing. But that is difficult a lot of the times, because people are different, and not everyone has the same level of, you know, people are different in their walks, and not everybody is going to be at the same place in every area that you're in. And so I think it's about being able to recognize where people are and not taking any of that personally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially like we just had Thanksgiving, right? So I know I know several people, friends of mine that I talked to, that were actually dreading being around a lot of their family, just because there's always so much chaos, mm-hmm. and there's always, you know, and I feel like that, you know, usually there's some kind of family something going on somewhere.
Some drama.
Yeah. And so, but that can, you know, if you sit around and think about that, like that can make you anxious. That can make you not spend the day giving the Lord thanks for all the things that he's done, but just holding on to that anxiety, like, you know, and how am I going to respond to that? And I think that's where a lot of mine was, is I want to respond like Jesus would respond, but I also don't want to be a doormat. Mm-hmm. And I also don't want to internalize these things. I want to, these things, this character and this development that God has done during these different seasons, I don't want to allow the enemy to try to demolish any of that. You know, like mm-hmm. I appreciate
fall back into old habits and stuff.
Right. Exactly. And you know, that's what he does. Like the devil tries to get us out of character, mm-hmm. and it's like God's developing this character. Like he's forging it in the fire. And then the devil's over here trying to be like, let me just bring you right back in there. And I think for me, I finally was like, no, like that's it. I'm tired of, you know, you trying to do this. Like I'm the person God wants me to be. And if I'm not going to return evil for evil, mm-hmm. I'm going to overcome evil with good. And you know, when it comes to that point, we can either overcome or we can be overcome. Mm-hmm. And God wants us to be overcomers. So
yeah, victors instead of victims.
Yes. And so it is not easy though. No. I mean, I will tell you that, like I've had to, but that's where Josh, like you were saying, like people have to know their Bible, because what's happened like in those circumstances now is I will actually have some of these verses playing in my mind mm-hmm. as I'm having these interactions. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, oh, I have the mind of Christ. I'm not going to repay evil for evil. I'm, you know, I'm going to bless those that curse me. I mean, you know, so it's like these things. And when the Holy Spirit is louder than our own thoughts, then that is a great thing.
Praise God. Yeah, praise God. Know?
So I'm like, yes, just let me take hold of that, because mm-hmm. we're called to be peacemakers, but we're not called to be peacekeepers. Mm-hmm. So I had to really think about that. Like, you know, a lot of times we can, and me, I hate conflict. Okay. So I like everybody to get along. I like everything to be smooth. You know, I if somebody has a problem, I want to go patch it up real quick. Mm-hmm. And so conflict is not my fun place, but I realized that a lot of times if someone sins against us, and you don't like conflict, then you kind of try to like put a Band-Aid on it. And really what that does is it keeps God from doing something in that situation. Like, it's almost like, you know, how you can enable bad behavior in children.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
By stepping in and not letting them experience any consequences.
Look at society right now.
Right.
We have almost an entire generation and a half that have not experienced consequences.
Right. And what is that? I mean, it's just so destructive.
Yes.
And so I feel like, so, you know, you think about that and you think it, like, to me, I was thinking, well, that's extreme. That's only in extreme circumstances, like if someone's an addict or something. But it's really not. It can be in everyday things because, you know, God says, like, it's his to avenge. It's not, it's, you know, we're not the one that's supposed to make things right. Mm-hmm. Now, we are just supposed to love like Jesus, stay in our Christ-like character, not let these things pollute our hearts and minds, and God will deal with the rest of it. Mm-hmm. But only if we can say, this is not my battle, you know? Mm-hmm. So right. If we can get out of God's way, because he's really good at being God. And
yes.
We're not.
Yes. He's a lot better at it than I could ever imagine to be.
Exactly. Exactly. So I had to remind myself of that because I think I was, you know how you can justify things by saying that they're good. So I would be like, well, I'm just trying to make sure everybody's happy and I'm just trying to, you know, keep the peace. And I don't, you know, I want everybody to be comfortable and I want every, and so it was I felt like it was out of a good place that I was doing it, but it still wasn't my place to do it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes our relationships could actually be stronger if we face the conflict head on and say, hey, this made me feel some type of way.
Yeah.
And then work through it instead of just, you know, putting that Band-Aid over it.
Yes, and I think that's what God wants us to do. And I think for sure that was one of my lessons because I don't like conflict so much. And, you know, I felt like God was saying, like, I get it, but I need you to be able to be okay with it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and I still don't like it, but now I'm more okay with it. Because I think God's way is not the world's conflict either. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't have to, you know, come at you, but I can speak the truth in love, which is countercultural if you think about it, because people don't address people like that. If they have an issue, they don't say, hey, do you think we could sit down and talk about this? Because I really, you know, I care about you and I want to know where you're coming from. I mean, like, people don't handle things like
that.
Yeah,
they'll end up ghosting each other. And you're like, what happened?
Right. Or like this whole cancel culture that we've been in, you know? I mean, people can love somebody one day and hate them the next. I mean, so
depending on the mood of your peers.
Right, exactly. And people are so easily influenced, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, we all eat lies when our hearts are hungry.
Oh, you're so right. And a lot of hearts are starving. So, you know,
absolutely. Absolutely. You know, God created us as spiritual beings. And if we're not seeking him, we're seeking something else spiritually.
Exactly.
And I know. Mean, so it's one or the other.
Right. I tried to tell somebody that the other day. I mean, it might have been my middle child. I have three children. But I was telling her, you know, there's only two sides. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's not like, maybe I'm a little bit with God and maybe I mean, you know, it's pretty black and white if you look at it, you know, but a lot of people don't look at it like that. But I know we're close on time. I wanted to tell you this though. One of the things that, so I don't know if you guys have heard of the Freedom Curriculum.
No, I have not.
Okay. Well, so it's a small group curriculum that my church does. And I've actually been in two of the small groups and I co-led one of the groups in the spring, but it's basically about how you can get freedom, you know, the things maybe that have been like strongholds in your life and all these different things. And then at the end, we have this amazing conference and, you know, it might be people that have dealt with like trauma in their lives or like different areas. But one of the things that it's a whole, we have a whole book and it teaches us through 12 or 13 weeks. And one of the things, the main themes, which reminded me of it whenever I was thinking about talking to you guys today, one of the things that we said was choices lead and feelings follow. You can't lead with your feelings. I mean, you know, and our feelings are more of an alert system, but mm-hmm. they're not always the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So
feelings are here for us to enhance our lives.
Right.
In positive and negative ways, just to help, like a flavor, like salt in our own life. But they're not supposed to be our radar for navigating life.
No.
Just another sense to feel life and experience life so that God has given us. Because happiness, that's not a bad one. Joy is clearly given by God.
Right.
And so these are gifts of God to help us cope as being humans.
Yes. But, you know, it's when people make decisions based on feelings mm-hmm. or, you know.
Yeah, that's when we're in dangerous territory.
Yes, we are.
Because feelings will betray us.
Mm-hmm. They will so much. I mean, the heart, you know. The heart's deceitful above all things. So mm-hmm. that's one of those. It all kind of ties into this, I think. Because it's our heart, our mind, our emotions that all have to be submitted.
Absolutely.
Yep. But I have learned this lesson. I've walked through it. It's amazing how I don't believe in coincidence and nothing is an accident. But it's amazing how many of these different things that we've talked about, I talked about with you guys today, have shown up in various forms, but have all been related. So I know that was something, a lesson that I needed. Mm-hmm. And it's really helped me. It really has.
God is very good at weaving the tapestry of all our lives together and closely. And those of us that follow closer to him, I think, are more aware of some of the pattern because we see some of the people repeating patterns and we're like, hey, we're in the same area of the tapestry at this moment in our lives. And it may not be that way 10 years from now, but right now it is.
Yes, I totally agree with that. And I mean, I have been so, especially for the last month, I have been, and I would watch like documentaries and stuff. I'm not saying I watch any bad shows or anything, but I've noticed more of, I didn't really say, hey, I'm not going to watch that anymore. But all of a sudden, I just didn't. And I would just be listening to worship music. But I've been like, God has been so good to put me. I've been in such like this. I've been in the presence of God like nonstop for a month. And I'm like, why do I not live my whole life like this?
Because
it's so good.
Because the flesh is weak, even though the spirit is willing. It doesn't take much for your flesh to say, ooh, penny, ooh, squirrel, ooh, candy.
I know, you're
And sometimes your flesh is more malicious than that. It's not so innocently you stumble. Sometimes your flesh desires or craves something so horrible because the enemy is whispering into you. And the enemy can't crack your spirit because that's where the Holy Spirit lives, right?
Yes.
But he can crack your flesh and cause these pulls and these urges that are hard to resist or that you might be in the middle of when you're tired and you didn't realize you're in the middle of it and go, oh, man, I was supposed to not do that.
Yes, you're so right. But then I'm like, you know, what I like how we can acknowledge when we're in like a close relationship or having like a special time. But you know what I don't want to do is I don't want to move out into the next season and leave this behind or minimize it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so good. Like, I want to stay here. You know? But, yeah, it's been so good. I've learned a lot about this, and I know that it's a journey. It's not like, okay, I've learned it. Now I'm good. I'm going to check that off.
Mm-hmm.
Move to the next thing, you know.
Yeah, he'll evolve it into something else.
Yes, he will. And I'll, you know, keep learning and growing. But I think I think God can do so much with our surrender. Mm-hmm. And so we have to find those areas that we are still holding on to. And sometimes it's not really easy to pick out, you mm-hmm. know, but the more we can be in his presence and the more we can study his word and pray, you know, prayer is so special and so powerful. And the more we can do those things, then I think that we will be able, it's like, it's easier to lay it down. So I'm grateful for it.
I'm grateful you got to share this with everybody, because I'm sure somebody, when we release this, somebody will be going through this and they'll be like, this is exactly what I needed to hear.
Yes, I hope so. And, you know, I know that God allows us to walk through things and teaches us lessons so that we, like the Bible says, we're ready to, you know, walk with somebody else through that.
Yeah, to comfort them.
Yes. And so I'm glad that he chooses to use us for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, he can't unless we're open to be used by him.
Mm-hmm. You're right?
He needs that obedient heart.
Yes.
And so if you feel called by God, know that you have that obedient heart.
Yes. Amen. I'm thankful for it.
Well, thank you for being with us, Lisa, and sharing this little testimony that you've been working on. And I look forward to the next things that God does.
Yes, me too. And I can't wait to tell you guys all about it.
That'll be great. And then we'll have you back on to share some more stuff.
Yes, that'll be awesome. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, if this episode has been a blessing to you, we ask that you share it with a friend. And don't forget, if you rate the podcast in Apple Podcast or Spotify, it'll help the algorithm know that people are liking it. And then it can go out to more people and more people can be encouraged. And also in our About section, we have some links if you want to donate to the ministry that'll help us keep this going. And that would be greatly appreciated, as well as prayers. And with that, we'll talk to you next time.